Good morning, and welcome to God Talk with Dr. Hal Green. You can listen to Dr. Green each Sunday morning here on KWPC between 8:30 and 9 for interesting discussions about God. And now, here's Dr. Green.
Good morning. You'll probably tell right away if you're familiar with my voice that it's a little lower than usual. That's because I'm at the tail end of a cold. The best thing about it is I always wanted to be a baritone. I'm a tenor. So it feels kind of good to be a little more resonant. So here we go. Last week, I began a series that hopefully I'll finish today around the question that someone wrote me in an email. How do you know if God's speaking to you? Because I've mentioned that, and I probably will again, that God does actually speak to us. And so I will give a very brief summary of what I said last week, and we'll move into what it is I'd like to share today. And I've already gotten another couple of emails. If you have a question about religion or something you would like me to address about God, because I've been at this for a while, please email me at drhalgreen@gmail.com. drhalgreen@gmail.com. I'll begin, as I did last time, with quoting the words of Jesus from John 16. And this kind of addresses the whole idea, you know, is God still going to speak to us, or do we have to think only in the New Testament, that's it, for Christians? I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So that's a promise that God will continue to speak to us, really in a progressive revelation kind of sense, giving us greater insight into the revelation in Christ. So God has spoken, God speaks, and God will forever speak. What I said last time, briefly, is that God addresses us through six means: nature, natural events, supernatural or miraculous events, scripture, other persons, and direct inner witness, which is where we're going to focus our time shortly. God speaks to us in nature. Look at beautiful sunsets, gorgeous flowers. This is called general revelation, and Psalm 19 says this so magnificently. The heavens are telling the glory of God. The firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard, yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In other words, it's God speaking, but not with human words. It's beyond that. So I think of last February, when I took a number of pictures of a sunset off the coast of Central California, and my sister was there. And she just sat down on it and kind of watched. At first, it was kind of glaring, but I probably got 50 pictures of that sun setting and got some magnificent shots. For me, it's just signs of the glory of God with the sun. It was a special moment. Then God speaks to us through natural events. This is called the ordinary means. And here it's less what happens than when it happens. Now, example of this, just from last Friday, when I did an outdoor wedding over in the Muscatine Arboretum. And just as I was about to announce that they were husband and wife, this beautiful moment, teary-eyed, here came a chevron of geese. I mean, there must have been 30 of them, flying very low and honking, honking, honking as geese honk. Everybody laughed and felt as if it was like a sign of rejoicing of heaven that, you know, here were the trumpets. They were about to be announced as husband and wife, which I surely did. We can think of many examples, I'm sure all of us in our lives, of the when of something happening. Wow, it is, you know, a needed rain or whatever it is that we sense is a sign that God is actually addressing us. You can't prove it, folks, but to the eyes of faith, it does bear witness that God is, in fact, saying something to us. And then God speaks to us through supernatural events or miracles. I told some stories last time about miracle healings that I was witnessed with Dr. Francis McNutt way back in the 80s. And it's interesting that to this day, on this very day, I guess it's already happened, in Rome, the Pope is finalizing the sainthood status of Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Now she is formally Saint Teresa of Calcutta. And there have to be two miracles of healing. In other words, and they give the story of it, that miracles of healing where someone or family prayed to, at that point, Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta, and there were healings that then they sought to verify with the medical establishment and something. Those healings, the indication of her sanctity, that her being with Christ, and therefore, as a person you can pray to, request, help us, whatever you make of that. The idea really is that these people are so close to Christ that if you can get them on your side, you got a friend there with Jesus, they can talk to Jesus and say, come on, Lord, let's heal this person of a brain tumor from Brazil, one of them. And then God speaks to us through Scripture. Wow. This is called God's special revelation, and it's the most significant, definitive, and reliable forms of God's speech to us. Through human language, but it's God-breathed, according to 2 Timothy. All Scripture is God-breathed. You just get the sense, even if a human is saying it, that somehow that human is speaking for God, or God is speaking through that human, just as a prophet is called God's mouthpiece. So a prophet is speaking it. God is in one way or another inspiring those words so we can take it as if it is the word of God, as long as we recognize that the true word of God is Jesus Christ, who is the incarnation of the word of God. And I mentioned a little bit last time about praying the scriptures. I've been asked about prayer this week, actually, and how people can, and I'll say some more in a minute, develop their prayer life so that they do feel that, they're in God's will and in God's spirit, and they may be getting direction from God. God speaks to us next through other persons. Oh, before I say that, someone mentioned to me last week who had listened to the show raised the question, doesn't God speak to us through music? I'm so glad they raised that question, because yes, Martin Luther, the father of the Reformation, maintained that music and the Word of God were the two means or instruments that would lift us, loft us, all the way to the foot of the throne of heaven, the throne of God. Great music can bring us into a sense of the presence of God, the holiness. Some of the music that's out now doesn't do it for me, but that I'm old-fashioned. Give me Bach or Mozart or Beethoven. I can go on and on. Like Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Every time I listen to it, it just gets me close to God. But God speaks to us through other persons. Whether they're aware of it or not, nothing is more important than the right word at the right time. It can create an unmistakable sense that, God is speaking to it. This isn't just your words. I get kind of shivers up and down my neck. I know it sounds funny, but it's been going on now for 30, 40 years. Whether someone's saying it to me or I'm saying it to someone, there's a certain kind of a shiver that I get at the back of my neck that I sense, this is God here. You need to listen either to what someone's saying to me or what I'm saying to someone. There's just that sense that this is the right word, the thing we need to hear. And all of us can be communicators of God to others, even if we're not aware of it or not. We can get that clear sense of something that God is speaking to us. through others. And I told some stories last time about that, and I'll probably say more later, but I do want to finish this one today. And then God speaks to us through inner witness. Jesus called this the testimony of the Holy Spirit. It's meant to reveal a truth, God's truth to us, in us, whether it's something, you know, that maybe was previously revealed, but we forgot. Thank heavens God can remind us. Hey, Hal, don't forget so-and-so. Oh, yeah, that's right. You did say that. Thank you, Lord. The work of Christ's Spirit is to convict and convince, to teach and to guide, to comfort and to strengthen, to heal and to sanctify our hearts, our inner being, souls, rendering us fit, ready and fit for eternal life with God. God definitely speaks through us through prayer. I've just begun my next book, which is, I believe, going to be called How to Pray, a Primer. God does speak to us through prayer. It's been called the Five Portals of Prayer, How God Speaks to Us. And I really like this. God can communicate directly and affect our, I'm going to go through this briefly, our thoughts, our feelings, our imagination, and our will. God can directly, and I've done this numerous occasions when I've led prayer groups. And we've had a specific kind of prayer, whether it's praying the scriptures or whatever. And here's how it works. Okay, so you're praying, and God, because God is speaking to us, as I'm saying, more often than we realize it. So one of our important prayers is, God, teach me when you're teach me how to listen to you, so I know when you're speaking to me. Which of course means you're willing to listen, and you're consenting to God's presence and action in you. Okay, so let's say you're in prayer and you're learning just to rest, just to listen. Listening is so important. While you're in prayer, you might discover yourself thinking. You have thoughts that maybe are new thoughts or thoughts that you'd forgotten that could be God-inspired. And how do you know if it's God-inspired? I'll tell you that in a minute. Secondly, your imagination. God can directly affect your imagination. So I've had prayers where all at once there was a scene that was unfolding that ultimately was of God and really was important to me. And I've got some friends who I count on their visualization, their imaginative experiences of God. They're just beautiful, and they speak to you sufficiently so that you really do think, you know, God was actually addressing me in that. God affects the imagination. Third, God affects our wills. You see this in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus, he's facing his arrest and horrible crucifixion, and he asks, right, let this cup pass by my lips. Lord, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be crucified. I don't. Of course not. And then his resolution is, not my will, but thy will be done. Not my will, but thy will be done. Put a little differently. God can affect our will so that we now want to do and are willing to do what maybe at some point previously we were not wanting or willing to do. So it's a legitimate prayer to say, God, if this is what you want me to do, you know, give me passion for it. Increase my will and willingness. Because that's willingness versus willfulness. That's a big thing in how we approach God. Are we willful? God, I want what I want. I don't want necessarily what you want for me. I'm willful. Or finally, maybe God needs to break us so that we become willing. I am no longer my own, but yours, John Wesley said. Put me to what you will. Wow. So you can receive greater passion for God and the desire to do God's will. If you pray, there can be a gift. A fourth, feelings. God can take away negative feelings and give you positive ones. Dissipate dark ones and dawn in your soul bright ones. Can take away feelings. Just turn your feelings over to God. And feelings are, by the way, connected to inner perceptions. So God can change how you're seeing something. through imagination or thoughts in ways that are very positive. Fifth, memory. God can help you remember times when God was there for you, when God comforted you and assured you. Don't forget about thus and so. Oh, I forgot you were there then. God, oh yes, thank you. God can help us to remember. Finally, I would add a sixth, which is intuition. Intuition is like discernment. It's you can't really describe it, but it's the clear sense of God's presence that stirs your heart. You know, how do you know a person is really the person that you love, for example? You just know it, your intuition. Your discernment is just the way you can experience God directly as God. Just as you experience a loved one directly as who he or she is, you intuit. It's also the seed place for discernment of good and evil, your intuition, your sixth sense. God will definitely teach us and increase our capacity to hear through directly intuition. God also addresses us in our dreams, and that's something I'm probably going to need to do a whole half hour on, because I've had so many discussions over the years with people who've come to me because they had a dream, and it seemed that God was speaking to them one way or another, or at least it was a paranormal. It was a different kind of experience. There was an otherness to it. It wasn't just your normal run-of-the-mill dream. God addresses us in our dreams. And I remember, just as an example, my first book called Journey of the Heart. I kept working on reworking that book for years. And then I had a dream where my counseling elder, because I was new in the ministry, Dr. Carl Stromberg, may he rest in peace, this is a saintly man. Well, it was a dream, kind of, you know, a social thing, gathering, whatever. And in the dream, Dr. Stromberg walked over to me and he said, "Hal, the Holy Spirit has told me to tell you that your book is finished." And I woke up. For me, that was an address. God was, you know, "Let it go, Hal. Go on. You're going to write other things too. For heaven's sakes, go on to other things." God speaks to us in our dreams. We have so many examples of dreams in the Bible. Certainly in the Hebrew Bible, in the Old Testament, God spoke to Abraham through dreams, to Jacob through his dreams, to Joseph. The list goes on. And in the New Testament, in the very first chapter of Matthew, God spoke a few times to Joseph in dreams, saying, "Hey, the child that Mary's bearing is of God, so it's cool." So he married her, then warning him later to leave and go to Egypt for safety, and then telling him to go back to Egypt after Herod died. I mean, to go back to the Holy Land, right? To go back to Lazarus. God apparently spoke to Pilate's wife because she came and warned him, "Have nothing to do with this innocent man," before he finally said yes to the okay to crucify Jesus. She said, I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him. And then Peter in Acts 10 had a magnificent, it says in a trance, but it was like he was in a dream. And God revealed to him that he had made the Gentiles clean. I mean, it's just, if there's time, I'll come back to that. But I've got other things I really want to share with you. But yes, God can speak to you. In fact, I'd like to talk about that sometime soon. And here's my request. If you have had, or if you know of someone who's had a dream that they felt, you know, God was speaking to them in one way or another, could you email it to me so I could, I won't use your name, so I could say, "Okay, and then so-and-so had a dream about this." Email me at Dr. Hal Green, DrHalGreen at gmail.com. God also speaks to us with what the rabbis termed the bat call, which means the little voice or the voiceless echo. You sense that you're addressed, you hear the words unmistakably, but you only hear it with your inner ears. It kind of bounces off of you. I've been addressed on a number of occasions, at crucial moments in my spiritual life, with God speaking to me. Bunk. The very first time was in 1967, 3 days after I'd encountered the Holy Spirit, and I was praying in tongues, and each time I did it, it was more me and less the Holy Spirit. And then these were the words that came out of left field. Move on, there's more. Move on, there's more. That was the first time. There would be other instances. And the more was I would become a contemplative a few months later. Another time when I was leading a men's retreat at New Mellery Abbey, and I was praying to God and to Christ, and I said, you know, Lord, what do you want me to do? What can't I do for you? Tell me, what do you want me to do? And the words came, love me. I mean, it was just a boom, bounced off me. That was God speaking to me. I know it was. So I just kind of let that in, you know, chewed it around and thought, well, you know, I'm not perfect and I sure don't love you the way you deserve to be loved, God. But, you know, I do love you. So I answered back and said, well, Lord, not like you deserve, but I really do love you. What else do you want me to do for you, Lord? And back came stronger. Love me the more. And I got it. God was not going to let go of that particular point. That's the whole ball game right there. Love me. Just like Jesus asked Peter 3 times in John 21, do you love me? That's the bottom line. Okay. Moving on. What is it that God wants to say to us? Okay, yeah, we've established ways that God speaks. What does he want to say? First, what is it God does not, listen up now, does not want to say to us? First of all, God will not contradict Scripture or say something meant to generate fear or anxiety in your soul. You see, in the Bible, in the angelic messengers, they would often say right away, fear not, do not be afraid, prior to God's revelation to get people calm and assured. Nor will God's address generate mistrust or diminish your sense of self-worth before God. Rather, God always seeks to integrate and strengthen you, to bring you to the truth that frees you, heals you, and saves you. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and it shall set you free. All right, there are six. I'm just going to have to walk through these in the time remaining. There are six primary topics of God's concerns that he speaks to us about. Here they are. Love, direction, knowledge, wisdom, warning, and your condition. Above all, God speaks to us of love. Love for us and God's desire that we love God as God loves us. And the fruit of God's speech are the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians 5:22. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are beautiful words. Next, God will give us direction. When we need to go somewhere, you can pray and pray, and then sooner or later, through whatever means, God will give you direction. Third, knowledge. Whether it's discernment to realize this is evil, this is not the right path, God will give you knowledge. Fourth, wisdom. God bestows wisdom of what the right and the wrong path. Wisdom biblically means that which is at once both God's will for you and works well in the culture. You succeed on two fronts. Warning. Oh boy, God will tell you, red flag. And I've known so many people who heard that warning but ignored it anyway. God will give you a statement of your condition, help you to understand your state of your soul, if you're but open to God's word and God's love. Okay, how do you know words from God? I'm just going to speak this. How do you know that a word is from God? Listen up. It has these elements. It is clear and distinct, novel and unexpected. You do not forget it. Its impact does not diminish over time. It gathers us toward wholeness. It contains mercy and grace, even in judgment. It is what we need to hear, even if it may not be what we want to hear. And it invariably strengthens and fires up our hearts. Let me say that again. It's clear and distinct, novel and unexpected. We do not forget it. Its impact does not diminish over time. It gathers us toward wholeness. It contains mercy and grace, even if it's judgmental. Even if there's judgment in it, it's always a judgment that forgives but tells the truth. It is what we need to hear, even if it is not what we want to hear. And it strengthens and frees up our hearts. An example of that would be in 2 Corinthians 12, where the word of the Lord came to Paul, "My grace," who had been begging for healing. Jesus says, "My grace is sufficient for you." There's so much in that statement. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength comes to fruition, comes to fullness in your weakness. Wow. Now, further, God's word is usually understated, brief and concise, and penetrates right to your heart. It does not rob us of our freedom. It does not diminish our ability to say yes or no to God. God's not going to put a shotgun on our heads. God can even seem more casual than we may want, considering how decisive God's message can be for our lives. God is addressing us constantly through one or another of these means I've been talking about. The problem is, you know, few of us are really willing to listen or know how. It takes time. You got to trust God. You got to learn how to listen in prayer. And then there's got to be the desire, the willingness and desire to actually hear. And not only to hear, but to, okay, I will do what you tell me to do, Lord. God is addressing you, desiring that you hear, believe in, trust, and act on what God is telling you. God is speaking to all that you are, to your whole life, past, present, and future. Now, here's a summary statement. God is speaking forgiveness. I mean, right now, God is speaking forgiveness and healing to your past. That's why Jesus came. God is speaking faith and love to your present. And God is speaking hope and promise to your future. God's address is meant to heal your yesterday, resolve the neediness of your today, and open up new possibilities for tomorrow. Isn't that beautiful? It's all good, folks. It's all good. God may be, even as you listen to me, God may be addressing you with one or more messages right at this minute, like, all will yet be well. All will be well eternally. Fear not, fret not, for I'm always with you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. That's a word of God to all of us to take to heart from the 23rd Psalm. Wow, my grace is all you need. My power will come in your strength. So, why don't you risk believing today? Spend this time working on listening and ask God, God, speak to me so I make sure I know when you're addressing me. And don't be surprised if that's exactly what happened. Well, folks, I'm going to put this show on my website later today, hopefully this morning, at drhalgreen.com, drhalgreen.com. If you'd like to hear this or there's someone you'd like to listen to, please invite them to do that. So I may talk more about prayer because I've had an interesting question about it next week. In the meantime, God bless you. God speaking words of love. Listen up. Peace.